Today, we focus on former U.S. Representative for Maryland and Democratic presidential candidate John Delaney. To do that, let's talk with Dominique Maria Bonesi, a Maryland reporter at WAMU in Washington, D.C. Dominique, thank you for joining us.
Thanks, Ben.
So, John Delaney's well known for being here for quite a while. Way back in 2017, he became the first Democrat to announce he was running for president. In 2017, to announce he's running for president in 2020, he did, I understand, right, not run for re-election to Congress representing Maryland in 2018. Take us back to John Delaney's earlier days. How did he rise in politics in Maryland?
So John Delaney was very not well known in Maryland prior to him running for office for his first time in 2012 for Congress. And he became known because 2 years before he got into Congress, the state Democrats, Maryland Democrats, had redistricted the whole state, the congressional districts. And part of that meant that the district that John Delaney was running for, District 6, which is from sort of Maryland, Montgomery County, which is a very blue district, to stretching out to Western Maryland that stretches into West Virginia, which is a very red part of the state. They switched from red to blue. So and John Delaney in 2012, when he ran, he beat out a 15-term Republican representative for Congress who had been there for years. So it was a really big turnover, and people started noticing, well, who is this guy? But it also because, you know, it got the state on talking about gerrymandering. And that's actually something that's come up to the Supreme Court level now, where now we're talking, now a three-panel judge in 2018 has said that gerrymandering that was done by Democrats was done to favor the Democrats. Mm-hmm. So that was something actually in Congress that John Delaney did say that he wanted to create a redistricting commission to make sure that states have fair redistricting. And that didn't actually really go anywhere in Congress.
Mm-hmm. In his time in Congress representing Maryland from 2013 to 2019, residents of Maryland know him for? What issues? What does he stand for as far as people of your state are concerned?
Yeah, you know, it's funny when asking a lot of people around, like, people don't really remember exactly one thing that he did in Congress. People do know about the redistricting stuff, but I mean, that's really it. He's kind of an unknown factor here when it comes to what he did in Congress. And what I think you really need to look at is what he did before he even got into politics.
And that was?
And that was actually, in 1993, after he graduated with a law degree from Georgetown University, he opened his first company. It was called Healthcare Financial Partners. It lent money to small hospitals and healthcare providers. And then in 1999, he sold that for $30 million. So he is really a millionaire. I mean, I think it was 2015 in Congress, he was the third wealthiest member with a net worth of $230 million.
Hmm. Tell us, what can you tell us about the people he surrounds himself with, his team?
So his team is pretty much staffers who he's worked with already while he was in Congress. So there's a lot of rapport already built there with them. And as of recently, it turns out that some of his senior staffers have been telling him that he should actually withdraw from the 2020 race.
Mm-hmm. Which advice, which he evidently has ignored.
Right.
Okay. So we like to find out with these home state views how the candidate has dealt with criticism in the past. What can you say about that?
Well, I mean, if we want to look, at his record before entering politics, his uncle, John Rowe, who's a professor of healthcare policy at Columbia University, called him, someone who really was able to take criticism and take and learn, so do his homework and learn mm-hmm. from what people were telling him. Now, the whole example of him not taking advice from his staffers to drop out of the race might speak otherwise. And then we also have that he also on stage, I believe this past this past week, we saw him with Elizabeth Warren. We saw the whole when he was basically saying that we need to we can't have Medicare for all. We can't. You know, I'm a moderate on Medicare for all. And Elizabeth Warren came out, and we keep replaying this on NPR. We keep hearing that, you know, why do we do this? Why does someone run for president if they think we can't do whatever?
Mm-hmm.
So, and his face in that moment, you know, we didn't get to hear a follow up from him, but you know, I think it definitely speaks to the fact that he, you know, he sometimes doesn't always get the chance to respond to that criticism.
Right. I wonder what the people around you in Maryland think of John Delaney in the spotlight. He's, as I mentioned at the outset, he was the first Democrat to announce running for president way back in 2017. He's done, I don't know if you know what this is, doing all 99 counties in Iowa is called doing the full Grassley, Dominique.
Because I did not know that.
Yes, our senator makes a point of doing that to keep in touch with all of his constituents. So what do Marylanders think of John Delaney here in Iowa and running for president?
You know, with his three terms in Congress and really, you know, he wasn't born in the state. He was actually born in New Jersey. He really doesn't have a strong following other than the district that he was from in Maryland. But if you ask people in Maryland who they would have thought was going to run for president, they would have said Governor Larry Hogan, who you probably saw on Late Night with Seth Meyers yesterday. He was making the rounds on some other news shows, national news shows yesterday. You know, we, as a state, we are a very moderate state, and Governor Hogan has really put himself there. And so this sort of juxtaposition between John Delaney and Governor Larry Hogan is one that a lot of people weren't expecting John Delaney to run, I guess.
Mm-hmm. And finally, we like to find out about candidates from their home states, something that we might not have reported on, or the national media might not have reported on, a lesser known fact about John Delaney?
I can tell you two. So one, he's an avid gym rat. He, you know, works out a lot, likes to stay fit. Apparently, there's some people saying he's the fittest person on the debate stage. Mm-hmm. And then another interesting fact, which is might be a little well-known, but maybe less well-known, was his take on immigration. He talks about accepting all people to be allowed to be immigrating to this country. And he refers to the story of his grandfather coming into Ellis Island in 1923. Apparently, his grandfather had lost one of his arms in childhood. Mm. And when you came into Ellis Island, they put you aside because, you know, because you're disabled, it might not allow you to enter the country. So he was separated from his family and put into sort of a holding room before a judge could come in and determine whether he could be allowed into the country. The judge came in, and turns out the judge had one arm as well, and said, yeah, go ahead, kid. So that's kind of a fun story, I thought, of just his take on immigration and what he thinks about it. It gives you a little insight into his values as well.
Indeed. Dominique Maria Bonesi, Maryland reporter at WAMU in Washington, D.C., with a home state view of Democratic presidential candidate John Delaney. Dominique, thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Ben.